I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with those bitches over at Buffering the Vampire Slayer. The feud is still on, baby! Ha-ha! I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Buffering-verse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad. Blah! Blah! A.k.a. I'm sorry. A.k.a. more new nicknames TBD.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering-verse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, pew, 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 a.k.a. more new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 4, Episode 1, Deep Down. Deep Down was written by Stephen S. DeKnight and directed by Terrence O'Hara. It aired on the WB on October 6th, 2002.
And this is the one where, after a bummer of a summer, spent hallucinating underwater, stuck in a box, welded shut by Justine, Angel is brought back to sea level and must decide what to do with his weird son.
That was very pithy.
I didn't know how else to describe it.
You got Justine in there.
Had to.
Previously on Angel. Darla's returned and she's pregnant. They did many terrible things together. Did you and Darla? Once. It was a very dark time, but it's possible. Vampires can't have children. Well, they did. It's human. I'm gonna have a son. This baby is the one good thing they did. Steak. Oh, check him out. He's Mr. Dad. Daniel Holt, seeking revenge. Find others like you, Justine. Wes thought Angel was gonna kill Connor. The father will kill the son. Psych, neck slash. Holt promises to take care of the baby on his own. Jumps into Kortoth. Daniel!
Daniel!
Angel tries to kill Wesley for taking his baby. Fred tells Wes not to come back to the hotel. Wes and Lila, they're fucking. Gunn and Fred, they're in love. Also fucking. Mm-hmm. Connor's back as a teen. Justine killed Daniel. Connor cradling a dead Daniel. Cordy and Angel were supposed to meet up, then Cordy became a higher being thanks to Skip's bitch ass. You murdered my father. Sends Angel deep down in the ocean.
Cordy's gone. She going up, baby.
It is like in the original Roswell where Liz like asks Max where he's from and he just points up.
Wow, that's hilarious.
He's just slowly points up.
Very good. For fans of our various live viewings, I've done a lot of visualization of the up and down that ended season three with Cordy moving upwards and Angel moving downwards, and glad to open back up into the same status quo.
Now that I just bring up the Hulu descriptions, because, you know, they're fun. The Hulu description for Deep Down says, Fred and Gunn search for Angel. Cordelia is now a higher power and missing. Wes begins to piece it all together. Which is all correct. But IMDb is a little shady. IMDb's description is, as Fred Gunn searches for Angel, Wesley continues his affair with Lila and conducts his own, more fruitful search.
Dang, okay, a Wes fan wrote that.
Fred Gunn did shit, is what IMDb said.
Wes is a cool neck scar, says IMDb. And
it's like, Alexis,
right.
Did you write this description?
Yeah, very cool if he did.
Noting some nerd things, this episode was the series in a new time slot, no longer after Seventh Heaven, unfortunately for all of us.
What the hell?
But you may remember this. It was moved to the WB Big Sundays after Charmed season 5. You remember that good stuff?
Yeah, baby. Yeah, I do.
Before being moved to Wednesdays after Smallville, which actually was a good time. Mm. And I remembered, like, after I did the slight research, it just came funny back to me, you know, like the promos for the episodes on Sunday, because they would like promote them with like a themed title. Because you remember how like every season 5 episode of Charmed had like a theme.
Yes.
So like Happily Ever After was a Charmed fairy tale is how they promoted it, which is like the subtitle from the like the promo code stuff. So they did that for Angel and Charmed. And Angel has a really cool one for this season that is a spoiler, so I can't say it.
Okay, good, good, good. But please reveal it when it is appropriate. Yeah.
And I'll say it in my cool Holtz voice.
Also, I just want to establish that I was invited to take all four corners for this episode. I didn't even ask. As a matter of fact, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 notes total. So I'm here. I'm in the room for this episode. Love you guys. I have 5 things to say, so I'll pick my moments.
She's not, like, officially a guest, but, like, she's a guest.
She's the guest, yeah.
like a guest. Like, yeah, a shrug guest. Your shoulders while you say guest.
Yeah.
Wow, you're just as cool as Justine.
Oh, no one could
be. You invite me in here to drag me? Okay.
Yes.
It's the only way she knows how to do it. Shall we get into the app?
I think we shall. We're season 4, baby.
Baby. We open at a hallucinated Thanksgiving at the Hyperion. Vibes are good. Everybody's having a great time. So much so that things are even good between Connor and Lorne.
They're sitting next to each other. They're buddy-buddy. They're cracking jokes.
It's bananas. So this is how you know immediately that this is not real life.
Well, from the shooting script for Connor, it says, Connor is well-groomed and wearing an Angel-style shirt. The perfect son.
Does it say Connor is drinking a wine glass full of motherfucking milk? Because that's my first note.
He's a growing boy, Kristen.
That.
Oh, you didn't see that one yet?
There are
strong bones if he's going to be jumping off all that shit.
Two times this fucker drinks a fucking glass of milk, and the first one at Thanksgiving is in a wine glass. So
that's
I'm
the kind
upset.
Of shit I would have done at age 9, though, for sure. Meet 9-year-old Morgan just lording around the house with a wine glass full of milk, like swirling it, pretending to smell the bouquet.
The tannins.
Ah, yes, oaky. Like, I can't, but also, he's much older than me then, though, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But Angel, you know, he wants to freeze this moment. They're all safe and happy and together. And, you know, this is what they need after the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then out from the shadows, we reveal Wesley looking like season 1 Wesley. No neck scar. He is clean shaven. The glasses are on. The hair's got the product going.
Mm-hmm. And they're the idea that Wes and Angel are the heads of this table, the like the two dads of this family. I adore it. It is such a punch in the gut. And the idea that this is how Angel in his heart of hearts kind of wishes things were is real fucking sad. Also that he knew that Gunn somehow would grow facial hair.
It's been 3 months. He knew Gunn's gonna get that goatee.
His heart just knows. Could not. And then he and Cordy start flirting up a storm, and she goes in for a kiss, promising him that their troubles are over. And this is so commonplace that Connor even goes, ew, do I have to watch this?
Drink your milk, son. Shut up.
Shut up and drink your milk. Let the adults watch the hotties kiss.
Angel says, I like it when you glow. And I'm like, wow, Angel flirts like me.
Truly.
At some point during the milk drinking, I have my second note. Like, I'm almost done. I'm going to see myself out. Because it's at some point during this scene, the guest stars start appearing and Laurel Holloman's name. It's like Laurel Holloman's name shows up with milk. And I'm like, okay, season 4, episode 1, baby.
The guest stars have not shown up yet because the credits have not happened yet. So you just imagine that Justine was part of this scene.
Okay, maybe I did. It was so, both things were so upsetting to me that I combined them accidentally.
Oh, God. Have a nice glass of milk and watch your Justine. So then we start serving the food, but like the hallucination starts to like distort and get weird, and like Angel's not getting any food, and everybody suddenly is like talking and ignoring him, and it's very weird and bizarre. And eventually he gets like a tray of meat, and then suddenly it's empty, and he kind of shatters the illusion. He asks, but the thing is, before he does, he asks for Cordy, which broke my heart. He knocks over his wine glass, it shatters on the floor, and we reveal that the Hyperion is now, like, waterlogged and spooky, and the only person at the table is Connor, who says, freeze the moment, Dad. It'll last forever. Little punk.
And then it reveals he's underwater, and I wrote my notes, yup, he is deep down, baby.
Baby! And we go to titles.
Vincent Kartheiser, series regular now, after Amy Acker. And Alexis gets the and credit.
Hot. I genuinely screamed at the sight of Vincent Kartheiser in these credits. I did not remember that that happened. I was beside myself.
They went all in on the Karth, baby.
Oh my God, I just realized that when I shouldn't have called him a punk. I should have called him a grimy little pimp. Sorry.
You grimy little pimp.
Grimy little pimp. Dukes up. So then our next scene is we're in Los Angeles at night.
And this is where we get the guest star credits. Special guest star, Andy Hallett. Lawrence, we went up. Still not a series regular, but he's making that money. Special guest star. Guest starring our boy, John Rubenstein. And Justine.
And Justine. So Fred and Gunn are running. They hop in the car and try to drive away. They're clearly on some kind of adventure of some sort. A vampire jumps on the hood of their car and smashes the windshield. Gunn pulls over, gets the guy off the car and says, your ass better be insured. And I was like, yes, king. Then they talk to the so then a big gang of vampires comes up. And how did you guys feel about these characters? Because they felt very people of color written by a white person for me.
Well, it's interesting because like the head one is played by Noel G, who has played literally hundreds of these characters. He's Hector from Fast and the Furious and Moreno from Training Day. And I was looking into it. So he is the actor is like a reformed gang member and like he does these roles all the time, and like he also like just does motivational speaking, basically, you know, getting kids like, you know, off the streets, telling them not to be in gangs. So that's really cool.
That is really cool. We reveal that Gunn and Fred are looking for this girl Marissa, who's a vampire. They find out that she's in a building on Figueroa, but unfortunately they cannot leave peacefully, and there is a big fight between Gunn and Fred and all of these vampires. But it's a fun fight.
Yeah, the boss says he wants to see these back from Marissa. I'm like, are they worth $10,000?
As we all know, CDs are very expensive.
I mean, when you're in Los Angeles, you know, city of angels and also expensive CDs. So...
Thank you. So this fight I really liked. Fred reveals that she has the little stake shooter on her wrist that Angel's had in the past. Rules. Gunn pulls an arrow out of a disintegrating vampire's chest and shoves it in another's chest like he's fucking Legolas, and I lost my mind. That ruled.
Yeah, it's good shit. Why don't any of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer guys have the little stake shooter was my question.
They probably think it's uncool when it is cool, actually.
I think it's pretty cool, yeah. I'm just wondering why they're not trading their secrets. Or maybe, to your point, LaToya, they're just like, whatever, dad.
Watch Xander try it and break his wrist.
Yeah, I feel like if Xander had one of those on, it would go off on accident constantly and, like, you know, break everything in the magic box.
Yeah, solid point.
So our fight ends with this vampire throwing Gunn's axe at Fred, and we are to wonder, is all lost? No! Connor pops up, catches the thing, and throws it back at the guy and kills him. This is like the first moment. I think that there's an interesting kind of thread throughout this episode playing on Angel's hallucinations, this idea that, like, everything has kind of a hallucination vibe, like things happening suddenly. And it makes you wonder, like, oh, okay, was that real? Oh, okay, was that real? And I feel like this is the first one of the episode proper where this feels so abrupt and shocking. I wondered if it was real.
Because it's like, he shows up, like, they're playing Champion music for him. He's like, wasn't that cool? That was cool. And I wrote in my notes, Pete Campbell ass.
Yeah, I was like, how dare you?
I don't know.
To Justine.
Because I don't watch Angel as detailed as I watch Buffy, I don't know if there are a lot of vamp beheadings in this universe. But in Buffy, there are not. And the first episode of this season of Buffy, she also beheads a vamp. So I don't know what's going on, but we're taking new styles in these episodes. So
maybe they felt they weren't utilizing that tool in their arsenal.
Yeah, they got a lot of
letters. It's really cool when we cut their heads off.
Like, that's one of the things you can do to them. Let's do it to them.
Me, the exec at Warner Brothers going, why are we cutting off heads on these shows?
A lot of stakes and hearts, guys, not seeing a lot of beheadings. So what's up there?
Chomping on my cigar. Hey, you have a thing. I would like this. So our next scene is at the Hyperion lobby, and we're kind of like setting this new status quo with Fred and Gunn and Connor. Fred is calling Connor honey. Gunn
is
like,
they are mom and dad.
They are mom and dadding so hard, and Gunn is being a little harder on Connor and is like, you have to think about like stuff other than yourself. But even he admits that the axe thing was super cool.
But yeah, it's a lot of what Gunn is saying to Connor is things that he could have been saying to himself, honestly.
Which is really interesting. And I really buy the Fred and Connor, the Fred and Connor and the Gunn and Connor dynamics. And I really like how they shift once they find out like what his real deal is and they kind of like flip. I really, really enjoyed that and want to talk a little bit about it more when we get there. Our next scene's in the office, and Fred is not sure they should talk to Connor about this new lead they're following up on. Gunn brings up that they're nearly evicted at this point without Angel, Cordy, and Lorne helping out financially.
Wow.
And yeah, yikes. What happened to all that provider cash, baby?
Also, who are they paying rent to? Who's evicting them? Who owns this place? What's happening?
Didn't David set up a mortgage?
David set things up. And also, Lila also set things up, too.
Lila's collecting rent. She just rolls up.
Lila's the landlord. Of course, she's evil as fuck.
Oh, my God. Yes. My evil landlord, Lila. Oh, God. Fred even goes so far as to kind of like criticize Lorne and say, he's lost the mission, bro.
Fred.
And this is at which point I would like to ask, Fred is not allowed to say bro, but am I? In a 90s surf vernacular kind of way?
Yes, you can do that because that's your people.
Thank you. And then I write in my notes, I agree that neither Fred nor I should say dog. Because she's really trying it this episode. Then Connor walks in and he's like, what are you guys talking about? Like, finding who? And Gunn and Fred are like, okay, we're after this girl, Marissa, who like fed around where Angel and Courtney were supposed to have met that night. And he's like, I want to go.
Of course he does. Fucking pack your milk, child.
Pack your milk. Also, he like definitely has been listening to them all summer pretty much to know, to keep tabs that they're looking for Angel and all that.
And they keep doing it. They do it in this episode. They're like talking about him. They're 4 feet away. I'm like, you guys, this is, we know he can hear you no matter
you guys learned it the hard way.
Let it go through your brain. Change your behavior. we then cut to Point Doom, to like the, you know, the cliffs and the beach. Angel and Courtney have a scene where they meet like they were supposed to. Courtney says that Angel knows her better than anyone, which it's interesting to think about all of this being kind of like Angel's subconscious, like what he wants to hear. And I think that's interesting. And I do think that's kind of true. Like the two of them are on that level together.
It's like everything he wants to hear, and then I'm so hungry. Like every dream has that circular.
Some might say he's freaking hungry.
Some might say he is freaking hungry. Angel starts to kind of like come out of it and have flashes of like the actual awful experience of being at this place. And he's like, but this isn't how it happened though. And Cordelia's like, shh, just kiss me. They make out. I'm happy. Make out when it's not a dream?
Exactly. They keep giving us these fake makeouts. I'll take them, but like, I want Cordy and Angel to kiss, you know?
Please.
Kiss,
and
please.
Then, kiss, please.
Yeah. Fake Cordy says she likes this version better than, you know, what happened. You know, agreed. She says she's in love with Angel, and that deep down, she said she thinks she might have always been for a long time, you know?
Yeah. I saw the way she eyed him when he showed up at the Bronze in season one of Buffy. She's had it bad for
a
bit.
That's true. They had some chats. They had some long chats.
Even back in the day, he genuinely found her funny and laughed at her jokes about Devin.
Meant to be.
Sorry, Buffy.
Sorry,
I mean, I know that two of us are fine with this. Morgan is holding it together, pretending she's chill.
Morgan's about to flip a table.
I'm fine. I don't know what you guys are saying. I don't know. I just can't hear you. You don't hear that loud ringing in your ears as well. So then they smooch, and then he starts moving on over to her neck, and he takes a little chomp.
So hungry.
And he apologizes, you know, he's freaking hungry.
Which is only polite. Then he comes to underwater and is like, ah, no. One of several cuts to David Boreanaz underwater going, ah.
It really
episode.
Affects me. Like it is a very upsetting plot line to me and the person I am, like thinking about him in a box at the bottom of the ocean. It's very bad.
I don't like this for him.
It's really fucked up. I see why the Vampire Diaries stole it. like, very effective. Yeah. Copy from the best, baby. We then cut to a scene back in the office. Connor's like, I'm going to help with Marissa. He's my dad. And I'm like, here's where he's a grimy little pimp.
Yeah. I put lion-ass bitch, but yeah, also a grimy little pimp.
How dare he? Fred folds because she's sweet and she's soft, and he goes off to get his weapons.
But Gunn tells her, like, getting information is a finesse job. He's a blunt instrument. And, like, Gunn, he knows a thing or two about finesse, I'm just saying.
Hell yes. Fred is like, look at Connor. He feels really bad. He's hurting and wants to help find Angel. And I'm like, honey, you are projecting. He is not that good a liar.
Especially later when he snaps at Gunn, but like, he's not my father or whatever. Like, I'm nothing like him. It's like, has he not been doing this for 3 months? Because that was like, was this the first time he like snapped and broke like the facade? I don't believe that.
Yeah, and like Fred's making a lot of excuses for him, and obviously like she has experienced traumas in other dimensions and returned to ours and like hasn't really been herself. So I get that she's the one who would, you know, like be a little easier on him. But he's lying, and he's not a good liar.
I think you guys said this at the end of last season, but I just don't. I'm with you. I believe that Fred would go with it because of her trauma. But Gunn, come on.
And I mean, he is the more skeptical of the two, which is helpful. And I do buy it. But yeah, I'm worried we're at a point where it's like, for 3 months at this level, and like LaToya is saying, like, this can't be the first time he fucked up like that. I'm kind of like, why are you believing this? And I guess it's the we believe what we want to believe kind of thing. Because I guess it's just too painful to think about the truth.
Yeah.
So Gunn's kind of like, okay, like, I get he wants to find his dad, but what if we're just giving him false hope by doing this? Like, shit's bad around here. Did you forget? Like, we've been looking for all this time and we can't find anyone, including Holtz and his psycho girlfriend.
That's Justine.
Did you remember? Do you remember her? You guys remember Justine? She was in a couple of episodes.
Set a little plant there.
Are you like salt baying, Justine?
I'm salt baying. Just a little, Justine. Just a little, Justine. Fred brings up that maybe they could ask Wolfram and Hart or Wes. And Gunn says,
Fred, Wesley doesn't give a damn about us.
Have we given him a reason to?
He's made his choice. Now he has to live with it.
What choice does he have to live with exactly?
Doesn't look like a terrible choice to me.
Doesn't
a sweaty,
so
sweaty
bad.
Choice. It's a sweaty choice.
Very sweaty choice.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
God, you guys.
I know we haven't even gotten there yet, but this woman licks his whole neck. The
yeah,
whole
she does. Yeah, she does, Chris.
Seventh Heaven was like, get the fuck out of here.
You may not.
It had to be after Charm because, as we know, Cole and Phoebe, they fucked.
They were fucking. The only appropriate lead in.
This is way hotter than they were season three.
This premiered right after the mermaid episode of Charmed.
So means I turned my TV off and missed this. I was like, okay, no, thank you. I have watched the mermaid episode of Charmed.
I was going to say, because no, the mermaid episode was like two parts. So that would have like premiered first. And then the next week is like the fairy tale episode. So that's what it premiered after.
So again, I turned my TV off.
Cole, of course, her Prince Charming.
I successfully watched Charmed in secret without my parents finding out and turned my television off.
Because if they had seen one Cole Phoebe post-colonial scene, they would have banned the show.
They would have thrown away our home's television.
They were always sweaty.
If they had seen Julian McMahon's heaving, glistening chest, I would not be the person I am today.
As we're going to have said multiple times, we were watching the WB and we were seeing a man on screen.
A man. But back to the horniness at hand. They talk about, she's like, well, that didn't suck. I mean, and they speak about sucking. I am unwell. I see Wes's tongue. I am unwell. There's talk of next time, and she's like, what makes you think there's gonna be a next time? And he's like, you can't resist me. Then
you take all the time you need, Morgan. You take deep breaths. We're all here for you. We'll support you through this time.
I'm gonna read to you an all caps section from my notes.
I'm sorry, this is in my podcast universe, I call this an erotic novel. It sounds like you're winding up to an erotic novel. So
that may be. I write in all caps, Lila pulls his hair and licks his neck. I am simply gonna pass away, folks. 29 years, baby, is a good enough run, right? Uh-huh. How is one to live?
I don't know. What do you think Justine's doing in the fucking closet? You think she's got her little beady eyeball pressed up against the crack of the door?
I wouldn't blame her. Because, yeah, I have some questions later about Justine and her situation.
Also, I sent you guys a text, by the way. I brought Justine into this already. I did retract. Take it away. Pull it out.
Gonna keep good stuff going. You guys, where were you at How are you feeling? How are you doing now?
LaToya?
Well, I don't want to spoil Fuckwatch, so...
I felt uncomfortable in a really good way. That's how I will summarize my feelings.
I think that's fair. to bring us back to the plot, Lila's like, I have to go back to work. And then she oh so casually brings up Angel. And Wes is actually in a place where he can joke about kidnapping Connor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, that was part of his undercover work, so.
More like under the covers work, am I right, gang?
Sexpionage.
Resisting the urge to throw my microphone.
I sent you guys a nice text. I don't know if you got it.
Oh, my God. Let me see. Is it a picture of Cole Turner?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It
oh,
is.
My God. It's a GIF. It's a moving image.
Yeah, this is one of this one's.
Is she wearing, like, little arm ribbons? What's happening?
Of course she is. Alyssa Milano invented fashion on the chart.
They were having, like, a sparring session.
Yeah, she's little sweatbands.
For the listener at home, it's just Alyssa Milano's two hands starting on a neck and then working their way down a glistening chest, as promised.
This is an iconic Cole Turner gif used by both LaToya and I at several points to convince Jill to watch Charmed. We're not there yet, but maybe we will be one day.
We're going to pivot to being a Charmed rewatch podcast.
It would be a good pivot.
The only thing that could make us a worse podcast. So Wes is like, I see that you're fishing, Lila. I don't know where he is, and I don't care.
She's not even doing it well.
Yeah.
She's just, like, sex dumb.
No thoughts, head empty. She's, like, puts on her clothes and, like, gives him one last smooch for the road. He's, like, pulling her hair. It's a whole thing.
That second kiss, it's so much. There's a whole movie in that second kiss.
Yeah, a movie I would review 5 stars.
Letterbox that shit.
I'll letterbox that. I'll put that on my top 4, bitch. So then she leaves. We stay on Wes, glistening in the half light. Thank you, post-sex glow. This is all from my notes. Then I write, my next bullet point is jeans, no top. Okay, Christian Grey. Then my next bullet point is woman in a cage. Okay, Christian Grey.
I wrote no caps, shades of fucking gray.
Shades of Justine, baby.
Have you guys seen the 50 Shades of Grey films?
Mm-mm. I have not. I feel like I don't need to.
Because I've told you quite a bit about them. The most important thing to me being that Christian Grey, the character, has a pair of jeans that's just for wearing in his fuck room. Ooh. They are like lightly distressed denim. He like changes out of other jeans into these jeans when he goes to the fuck room. And there is a moment in the movie where Dakota Johnson lovingly lays out his fuck room jeans on the bed. Like, ah, yes, he'll be wanting to wear these.
Wow.
And I can't get over that. That is...
And that's what Wes just did.
And that's what Wes is bringing vibe-wise
Wes's
right now.
Wes's topless body in those jeans is a real thing. It's a real situation for me.
It's a mood. Mm-hmm. It's a good vibe.
Yeah.
But keeping Justine in a cage is maybe not such a good vibe. So this is what I have written down in my notebook. Questions I have about Justine's situation. First, can she hear Wes and Lila bang, or is that soundproofed? I don't know what's better, what's worse. I mean, I guess you don't want her to hear that.
I mean, if it wasn't soundproof,
I think he wants her to hear that.
But like, I know she's like gagged, but she can still make noise.
Uh-huh.
So like, if she could hear them fucking, then she would be making a lot of noise because she would know somebody else was there.
But like, Lila wouldn't help even if she knew.
I'm thinking of Lila opening that door. Like I'm thinking of Justine making a noise. Lila being like, you got a girl in your closet? What? This is hilarious. Oh my God.
My God.
Way further along than we planned.
Honestly, if this was literally any other character that was not Justine, this would be so hot. Like, I'd be like, oh yeah, and then what would happen? And instead, I'm like, shut the door.
I'm like, Lila, don't go anywhere near.
Don't look at her. Don't look at her, Lila.
Yeah, I was like, this could not be less sexual.
Before I rewatched the episode, I was like, am I going to have to, like, recontextualize how I feel about Justine being in a cage? Am I like, going to feel bad about it and like be upset with Wes? And the answer is no.
Good. Correct.
So on that note, kind of my second bullet point is Wes's closet looks roomy. What's the square footage on that apartment?
I like real estate, baby.
And then my final question is, how do we feel about this? So LaToya, you're cool with it.
I feel Chris, fine
how
with
do
it.
You feel?
Fine.
I'm like,
fine
I feel like
it.
I should feel bad, but I'm like, no. I think, because here's the thing. I think that the reason Wes, like, the real reason Wes didn't tell anyone is because he knew that Gunn and Fred wouldn't allow it. They would be very against it, no matter how much they wanted to get Angel. That's the thing.
Yeah, I feel bad for Wes. I'm like, this is a low point for you, honey. Like, at first I was like, fucking Lila, you're in the prime of your life. Then that happened and I was like, I don't know, buddy. Girl in a cage. It's not looking good for you.
It's not good. I mean, it's definitely not. It's not good to put a girl in a cage, okay? I think we can all agree.
Okay, Kristen's coming out with a very, very polarizing
stance. Unless a girl would like to be in a cage for other reasons, in which case, have fun. But, like, it's not. Of course, it's not good. It's just that, like, in this universe, mm-hmm. and also with Justine, like, she literally slit his throat and left him for dead. Plus, we know in this episode that, like, she's still fucking alive. You know what I mean? Like, I know I was supposed to deliver that with more empathy. Like, she lives at the end because Wes lets her live. But then I got angry about it. But, you know, it's like, it's made very clear that, like, it's not about harming her. It's about getting what he needs to get, which is Angel from the bottom of the fucking ocean.
And he's not getting her in trouble for the back talk.
And it's also not, he's like, she's not like in the cage, like she's just in the cage until they go to the boat again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's only seems like she's like, maybe they're on the boat like all the time.
Yeah. Except for when he's fucking Lila, fucking you know, Lila. It's just an occasional, little stop, you know?
Did you say occasional?
I said occasional.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Fucking two can play at this dad joke game.
Thank
Morgan.
We then go to the boat. Wes is looking for Angel. Yay! I was so happy. I was like, he's looking for him all this time. I'm okay. There's then talk of a bucket that I don't care for.
Yeah. That's bad.
For one bit. Justine tries it. She grabs a wrench. Then there's more bucket talk.
You guys, she grabs the wrench and even I, hearing only through the studio microphones, can hear the wrench jangle. I mean, just try a little harder, Justine, is all it. Just don't jangle the wrench before you slam in the back of the head.
Jangle the wrench.
She knows not what she jangles. We then go to Marissa's place, apparently. Connor bursts in and, like, Gunn comments on it. Like, okay, I guess we're not doing it, like, subtly or anything. Because, you know, he's intentionally doing a bad job. Fred tries it again and says, word. Honey, no!
Fred, do you think that Gunn took Fred to a cookout and it's been all downhill from there?
I think it's possible.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like Hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
So Connor, finds signs that like Marissa just left, they find her, she saw Angel. Connor has her like up against a wall with like a blade to her throat. They're asking her questions, and Connor lets her go the second she said she saw Angel, and she runs away and she Scooby-Doo's out the window. And you know, like, Gunn is like, I told you never to let your guard down, and it's like, this is what he wanted to do.
And then he flies out a window.
He fucking zoops out the window after her. We then see Marissa climbing the walls like she is Spider-Man. I was howling.
Awesome.
We go to the rooftop. Connor finds her there. She unvamp faces. And she's like, come on, handsome. Can't we work something out?
Because she clearly saw him back when Angel went deep down.
Yeah. And Connor just, like, kills her. And he cuts himself so it looks like he was attacked. And Fred and Gunn show up. Gunn's pissed. And
Connor's like, all like, I had no choice. It's like, you could have, like, restrained her.
Mm-hmm. But me just dumb kid. Me no know. Fucking Connor. Grimy little pimp. He runs away like a little bitch.
Jumps off the roof.
Yeah, and Gunn and Fred talk, and Fred's like, be patient, he's just a boy.
And Gunn's like, fuck that. Also, I'm so sorry to take us back to Justine real quick.
Please.
But I wanted to talk about Wesley calling her a slave.
Yeah.
She couldn't see the chains. To which I'm like, this reminds me of an X3 when Mystique says that Raven's her slave name.
Oh god. Yeah.
Remember that? Rebecca Romaine said, that's my slave name.
I blocked out so much of X3, but thank you for reminding me. Yeah, that felt like, I know they're attempting to do some kind of through line there about Justine's like, that's not the right word, I don't think, is my take.
Yeah, agree.
Justine singing, Let My People Go.
Help, no.
But yeah, it's the whole scene is just her trying to bring the snark and it just falling flat. Ooh. And yeah. She just won't stop talking. It's like, you can not talk.
Mm-hmm. That's way more, everything that happens in the scene on the boat is more upsetting to me than her being in a closet. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it feels very gross on the boat.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Which I guess is, like, the point, because, like, we're supposed to see that Wes has gone to some lengths to find Angel, and that it has not been a pretty experience or situation.
She slit his throat. Am I supposed to feel bad for her?
I don't feel bad for her. I just feel like I feel icky about Wes doing it. And I feel like I also just think the slave runner throughout the episode is just not who we've known Justine to be. Justine was like a person who is manipulated into following like a zealot, which is a different thing.
Yeah. The show clearly does not know who or what Justine is, and that's been a huge problem.
Yeah.
They don't get her deal.
Yeah.
Her deal has never been got by a single person, which in some ways makes her incredibly unique. Never once been understood by anyone.
Not even the writers of the show.
Yeah, nope. That's real.
Least of all.
Now we're at Connor Spider-Manning on a roof.
Hell yeah. We go to another roof. And we have a Connor and Angel scene. Angel shows up and Connor's like, just get it over with. And this is kind of a moment where you're like, oh, okay. Is this Connor's like hallucination? Are we in his perspective? Like, is he feeling guilty? And it turns out this is Angel's perspective lately. So he just wants his son to feel guilty about hurting him, which, ouch.
Sorry, Angel. Not gonna happen.
He doesn't care. A bunch of vampires attack them. I love Angel like laughing at them and being like, what's funny? And he's like, I'll tell you later. Great. Classic Angel. Love that we cannot have an Angel episode where he doesn't fight something. So obligatory fight scene here. Connor saves his life. Angel thanks him and then promptly snaps his neck.
And everyone cheers.
We cut underwater. Angel's underwater and he's going, again. Not a fun time for him. Not a good time.
Who looks like they're having fun? Lorne in Vegas.
Viva Lorne Vegas, baby. He finally calls Fred back. He has 2 minutes of free time. And he says his connections haven't heard anything about Angel and Cordy. His outfit does rule, though. He's in a big blue fuzzy thing. I was very, very pleased. And he says, as he hangs up, make sure Fluffy's getting enough love.
And I'm like, you fools. That's clearly a sign.
That's a code. That's a cry for help. But they ignore it.
Is it trying to figure out who's Fluffy?
Fred being like, was he referring to something fluffy on me? I'm like, how did you make that leap?
I'm like, I don't think he would do that.
I really don't think he would either.
That's really inappropriate. That's not Lauren's bag.
I do like being like, wait, he called me fluffy?
Yes, that I'm
fuck
into.
That shit.
Please let Lauren always refer to Gunn as fluffy.
That I love. That is sweet.
But also, you guys are fools.
As the scene moves on, Gunn says,
no leads, no clients. Pretty soon, no roof over my smooth, delicate head.
I can make you a paper hat. It's gonna be okay. Angel and Cordy are out there somewhere. And no matter what the powers that screw you throw at us, we're gonna find him.
You guys, they're so cute.
The paper hat is my favorite Gunn and Fred moment in this episode. Paper hat got me.
Fred also calls the power that be the powers that screw you.
That screw you. It was so good.
So, so, so dang cute. I wish they would adopt me.
Me too.
I love them. We cut to a significantly less cuddly environment.
The goddamn boys club. Fuck Gavin and Linwood, honestly.
Yes. So we're at Wolfram and Hart. Gavin's bragging about this breakthrough he's had with the psychics. According to what he's been able to figure out, Angel is safe and immobilized, but they don't have an exact location for him.
Yeah. Linwood's so happy. Like, yeah, we found Angel. Or Gavin found Angel. It's like, well, they haven't pinpointed his exact location. So you haven't found Angel. But like he keeps like hyping Gavin up as though he did anything.
Fucking male mediocrity. Linwood's like, yeah, he's contained and out of play, which suits us just fine. Ugh. And like while Lila's like, yeah, it seems like that's not a lot of information at all, Linwood chooses to be real shady and is like, actually, the psychics told us a number of things. You fucking
gross. This is gross.
Gross. Lila's like, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not a conflict. He doesn't know anything.
And she also says she's not sleeping with him for information, even though she keeps asking. Like, she likes him.
She likes him.
Or at doesn't least really try to defend her like, boyfriend from her boss.
Doesn't Linwood say something like, oh, so you're just sleeping with him because of the like cut of his jaw?
Yeah, she's like, I hope it's not the chiseled jaw. Chiseled and I was like, jaw. What if like, it were?
What if You've it noticed? Were? And also, did you write in your diary about that chiseled jaw?
Because I did, as we read aloud recently. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm worried about him taking advantage of you. Like, if he doesn't know anything, you know stuff. Yikes. There is a threatening mention of a staff meeting that is coming up.
Yeah. So this is where I noticed. So it's like staff meeting in an hour. This episode, like the events of this episode happened like within 2 hours max, basically.
Yeah.
And I would say everyone basically just keep notes in your Shanchu prophecies about the way, like the timing of everything in the season, even more than like in season 3, because a lot of shit happens very quickly this season.
Right. We go to the boat. We have found something. And Justine has to go down. We go to the ocean.
I laughed so hard at Justine and her scuba gear.
This See, fish welds angel. And scubas. Look out.
She welds, she scubas. What can't she do? Most things.
Fight a vampire.
Pick up a wrench without jangling it. Yeah.
Can you imagine being at the bottom of the ocean for a full summer and then the first living being you see is just
oh,
I'd be
no.
like, leave me. Go.
At least with Vampire Diaries, the first woman, like the first person that Stefan saw was the hottest woman alive, Katsia. Mm-hmm.
Yes, as it should be. Very, very opposite reactions. Then on the boat, Justine is roasting Wes and is like, you think everything's going to be normal now? And I'm like, shut up, you suck.
Stop talking. Why are you still talking?
They like get Angel out of the box and he immediately chokes the fuck out of Wes.
And she's like,
We cut to commercial. We cut back. Wes is very easily able to take Angel's hand off his throat because he's been working out. And
they're like holding hands as Angel passes out.
It's so soft. All of that stuff made me so soft. How gentle Wes was with him. I like wanted to die. They go like inside on the boat into what I've written is the boat cabin. I don't know. Not a big nautical gal.
That might be it. I think that could be it.
Yeah, right?
You're not a scuba girl like Justine?
Yeah. So in the boat cabin, Wes gives Angel some animal blood. He says that starvation can cause like brain damage for vampires, which is very worrisome. And Justine is like, hey, just so you fucking remember, he hates you. All of your friends hate you. I suck. And Wes is like, thanks. Then back in the Hyperion lobby, Connor shows up. He fucking pulls some teen boy shit. They're like, where have you been? And he's like, out.
Out.
Shut up. Drink your milk.
Yeah. But like the way he turns his BS on, he's like, oh, shucks. Like, come on, guys.
This is the worst. Gunn's like, we were worried. And Connor kind of like softens and is like, okay, sorry. But then Gunn, like continuing along with the nicer vibe, is like, you're just like your dad. You got that big old thick skull. And Connor doesn't care for that.
I'm not like him. He's like, I care what you think. Like, this had to have happened multiple times, right?
Yes.
this is so, like, gross. This is so mean and disrespectful. Like,
he
I feel
sneers
really
at him
bad.
Like, he's Lorne to the point where I'm just like, is Connor just racist? He only know, like, a white person and, like, demons in Kortoth. So, like, is he just very racist?
That's what I thought in this scene immediately. I was, like, remembering how he was with Lorne. And I was like, and then I remembered Holt, who, I mean, undoubtedly racist. So,
yeah.
I think that we can just say, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, poor fucking Gunn having to live with this little grimy pimp. he just sucks. Fred smooths everything over and, like, Connor goes to his room, but it the vibes are not good. Gunn and Fred are left behind, and Gunn says this thing. It's like he wants me to fly off the handle. Like, which is really gross to think about, that, like, Connor is looking to be chased away, too, so he can have, like, a good excuse for leaving once he thinks they've, like, given up. He wants to have this antagonistic relationship with Gunn so that he can, like, use it to blow things up and leave. Ew.
It doesn't get any more gross than the next scene. Oh, wait. There's a bologna sandwich and another glass of milk. I actually don't
We're
know
not
if
there
that's
yet.
The next scene.
We're not there.
I don't
have more milk yet.
it's gonna be there. So Fred's like, of course he's testing you. You're the alpha. And they kiss, and there's a phone call.
We can't class over what they say, because she's like, don't let it get to your head. And he's like, that's not direction. It's flowing. To which I wrote in my notes, the old SC double hockey sticks.
I was like, I have to go. I was like, this is too much, man.
Can I call for the Gunn jingle on this line?
Yes. Absolutely.
Hit it.
Hit it, bitch.
Thank you. I'm not allowed to say bitch.
Gunn also calls himself the big dog.
He does.
Check that tux. Check that bod. Sign me up for the Gunn squad. Did someone say Golden God? I'm all in on the Gunn squad. Game boy playing, Himbal King. Sign me up for the Gunn squad. Even when he's curmudgeoning, I'm all in on the Gunn squad.
Bang, bang.
If our Jawa's gonna shoot his shot.
Bang, bang.
Cracking skulls up and down the block.
Bang, bang.
Smile and make the panties drop.
Bang, bang.
Gunn squad. Gunn squad.
Back on the boat, Angel, like, is hallucinating Lorne, who's kind of, like, talking to him. And Angel says,
why is it like this?
Oh, that's the age old, Bubby. I'll fire you off a postcard if I noodle an answer.
Life should be beautiful and bright. But no matter how hard I try, everything I touch turns to ashes.
Yeah, well, there goes that encouraging hug I was planning. Snap to, Buckaroo. The only one turning to ashes is that patricidal pup of yours. Oh, hell, I'd take him out myself if I wasn't just a crappy hallucination.
Yikes! And Angel is just kind of like, they are going like, I gotta stop him. And he's all out of it. Justine is cuffed down there watching him and being a little asshole.
Yeah, because he's like, he's actually saying out this whole conversation with Lorne. So Justine's just hearing his part.
And what Lucille Lorne says Justine is, he instructs Angel to bitch slap the sourpuss. Dang!
What is he, us?
I was like, Angel's subconscious has no patience for Justine. Jeez.
It's like, even though these are all Angel's subconscious, the Lorne part, it's like, I just believe it's actually Lorne. You know, he just, like, fucking popped over for an appearance in this dream.
I buy it. But can Angel afford his fee? so he kind of, like, starts going to sleep. Angel looks at Wes, but he sees Connor and says to him, I should have killed you.
Yeah. Woof. So, but obviously Wes and Justine are like, oh, he means Wes. No, he's talking about Mop Top.
Nope. I'm talking about Flaily McGee over there.
And, like, Wes isn't even upset, really, which is
during
even
that dream
more
fight
upsetting.
Scene.
Yeah. He, the
toy.
Toy and doing some Connor fighting. Regret this being a visual medium. But yeah, it sucks. Like, Wes is pretty unfazed by hearing Angel say that. Like, he's pretty much, like, hardened his heart to these people. Yeah. Like, you know he still cares. Like, later they're like, you don't care at all, do you? And I'm like, he fucking found Angel. He had to hang out with Justine a bunch. He cares
the most.
Yeah. And so Wes ends up giving Angel his blood because he says animal blood won't do. And Justine's blood's too thin. I guess he's not feeding her right.
Yeah, I think she's probably malnourished.
I just thought that he was like trying to dig on the fact that she's like doesn't stand up for her beliefs. And I was like, how about
she's
you
a little
just...
bitch.
Yeah, you're a little bitch. Your blood is just too much of a little bitch, Delvin.
Isn't he bitch blood?
Watching this with Michael Chasen, he said he should have said to Justine, no, I said he doesn't need animal blood. And I was in hysterics.
How did Michael Chasen like this episode?
He, like, the Justine stuff, he was like, you're fucking kidding. Like, every Justine scene, he was like, absolutely not. He loves Wes so much. Loves Wes and Lila. And yeah, I think those were the big takeaways for this ep. He liked it.
He couldn't believe there was more Justine.
He was like, you're kidding. So we then go to the Wolferman Hart conference room and we open on Lila standing at the head of the table, delicately touching the chair. Wish I was that chair. Everyone comes in. Lila goes and takes her seat in the middle of the table, and Linwood opens the staff meeting agenda with, let's talk about Lila.
And not in the way we want to talk about Lila.
This is my worst nightmare, to be at a meeting that seems unrelated and for everyone to be like, so let's talk about how Morgan sucks. That would be my Wolferman Hart employee character.
That's every episode of The Empire Diaries.
That is a lot of them, yeah. Linwood's like, they imply to her that like maybe you should go to like a less important office in like a third world dimension.
Yeah. Gavin's bitch ass chimes in because he thinks he's on top of the world right now.
I'm like, you are not in charge, bitch.
Oh, all the farther to fall. All the farther to fall.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Lila basically tells Linwood he's a little bitch. Like, she's like, I guess I'm not a fucking scaredy cat like you. And she's like, and you know who agrees with me? The following senior partner. Linwood talks a lot about how... this is his corner of the sky, and I'm like, the show is written by nerds, because for those of you who don't know, that is a reference to Pippin.
My corner of the sky.
Every musical theater boy I've heard try to hit that note.
Yeah, I was in Pippin, not to brag, but
ooh, who were you?
I was no one, except I was in the sex scene, and I was in high school, so it was, you know, rated PG-13 sex scene. I'll find my Pippin photos. You know what's funny, actually? Please. I think that there's a Pippin reference in Buffy too, because I remember being like, how are there Pippin references in both places? So it's the universe asking for you to see me in my Pippin costume. I'll find it.
I need it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Linwood's like, I can't believe you went over my head. Oh, buddy. You shouldn't have served her up a softball like that. Lila beheads a man via Palm Pilot.
Yes.
She presses a little button on her Palm Pilot. My dad gave me his old Palm Pilot, and I put my contacts in it when I was 10.
Well, now you know what you could have done.
I wish I'd been chopping heads off with that thing. That would have been way cooler.
Is the knife in the chair? How does it?
It pops up out of the chair, and it just slices them. It just, like, pops up, and it's, like, a little scythe, and it just... This, again, the visual is not helping here. But, yeah, it just, like, chops him. It's good. Wild.
And I write in my notes, in all caps, Lila wins, LOL, fuck you, Gavin. She's your boss now, bitch. Remove Linwood's head.
Bye.
It's basically what Lila says to Gavin, too.
Yeah, she's like, I went just under it, actually. And I'm like, hot. Lila's like, by the way, I'm the fucking boss now. Gavin, get that head, won't you? See ya, everybody. Hell yes.
Yeah, that's hot shit. She goes back to her office to play some fucking computer golf. You know she does. She's fucking stoked.
Celebratory round.
So at like this point in the episode, like only an hour had passed in time.
Wow.
We cut from this very evil place to another, Connor's bedroom, where he's being served bologna sandwiches and milk.
He's playing Game Boy. Did they get him a new Game Boy, or is that Gun's Game Boy?
I also thought the same thing, and I'm like, if Gun had to give up his Game Boy for this little shit, I will lose my mind.
Oh my god, I didn't even see that. Now I'm fucking furious.
How dare? Because you know, like, they don't have money. That's what happened. They're gonna get evicted. Man.
Fuck you, Connor.
Fuck him. Fred, you know, is being very sweet and maternal, and she says,
I can't imagine what you've been through, Connor. Being taken away by Holtz, raised in that place. It must have been horrible. I know you're still hurting, but I promise it's not nearly as much as you're gonna hurt for what you did to your father.
Yes.
Tase. Zap.
Tases this bitch. This is another moment of the kind of like hallucination quality of this moment where it's like, is this something like, is this a dream of Connor's? Like, is this again like more guilt for him? And it's like, nope, this is just the real world. Strange shit happens.
And he feels nothing besides the taser coming to his chest.
Boom.
Full of bologna and milk. Tase, bitch.
Ugh. Fried bologna now.
Fried bologna.
And warm milk.
Everyone has turned off this podcast.
I know, this is disgusting. I'm sorry. Feel free to bleep everything I've said about bologna. We go to the office. Connor comes to tied to a chair. And Wes, like, it's revealed Wes called. Like, he found Angel. Gunn and Fred are horrified and pissed off. They even think he hurt Cordelia too, which is like, yeah, fucking makes sense. That would be the assumption.
She just tases him again too, because like, how does she know to trust this bitch?
I write in my notes, she's not well.
Yeah, like, she's like a fucking wreck over this. She's been like trying to be strong for these 3 months, but not anymore.
Yeah, and the idea that, like, Gunn between the two of them has, like, the cooler head. And it's, like, now that there's nothing he can't put his finger on. Because you could, like, the way he was talking about what was going on with Connor, he was really, like, wrestling with it. He was, like, he's not just a normal kid. Something's off. It's like he is fighting us. Like, what's going on here? Like, now that he has answers, Gunn is okay. Like, he's able to, like, keep a cooler head and rein Fred in, which I really like that now she's, like, faced with the reality of who Connor is and the decisions that he's made. She, like, can't fucking deal, which,
she put so much trust in this kid, and it was such a betrayal, honestly.
Yeah, he made her feel like a fool, and that's not a good way to feel.
And also just, like, so like, you know, how vulnerable she had to make herself to connect with him, you know? And, she does, Amy Acker does, I think, an incredible job in that scene, because I was really upset watching it.
Yeah, beautiful work, as always. We go to the docks. Wes loads Angel very gently into the car. My heart is breaking. Justine is, like, cuffed to a dumpster or something, and Wes, like, throws her keys. And she's like, you can choose if you want to, like, be a slave or not. And I'm like, that's not how that works.
And she's just, you know, just yelling shit. He'll turn on you.
Nah,
he'll turn on you and all your friends. Shut up. Like, Holt's turned on you.
Yes, the only person here who's been turned on is you.
Yeah. Daniel never told his son about you.
Ever. And there were was a lot of time for him to say something. Like, he wasn't even like, you're that Justine lady. No.
Like, she had to tell her, like, tell Connor that she knew his dad.
Embarrassing.
I am doing air quotes, people. Obviously, you, again, you can't see anything we're doing.
I can hear you. I can hear
the air quotes in that delivery.
Okay, just making sure. Again, this is not a visual medium, and yet we play it as though it is.
This is for us. So then back in the office of the Hyperion, Connor's like egging Fred on to hurt him more, which is very gross. And like she wants to. Connor's like, Angel got what he deserved. And Fred's like, cool, how soon until we deserved it? You know, she's like really, really hurt by
this. And
that
actually shuts him up.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think he would have killed them?
Well, the gun, because now I'm like, he's racist. Yeah. Maybe. Like, it's interesting because I felt a lot of just like a weird Oedipal thing where like he was always sweet to Fred. It was specifically Gunn he, like, came, like was butting heads with.
Mm-hmm. You're
like,
right.
Get out of the way, Daddy. That's just me and Mom.
That's how I feel, too. I think something would have happened with Gunn. I mean, I don't know that he would have fucking actually been able to do it, but I don't think he would have ever gone after Fred.
Not helped Gunn in a time of need. I could see that happening.
Yeah, totally.
I think he could have, like, if there'd been a convenient moment, I think that that's totally possible. And that's really fucking freaky. And I'm sure that, like, for Fred, another part of the humiliation is like the excuses she made for this kid on Gunn's behalf. Mm-hmm. Because, like, can you imagine, like, the idea of like sticking up for someone you think is vulnerable, like to your partner who is actively taking hits from this kid, and to be like, no, he's just a kid, and to find out that instead he's like a duplicitous little shit. She just must be going through the fucking ringer, and Gunn just didn't deserve any of that. And yeah, it makes me mad.
Agreed.
So Wes brings Angel in and is like, cool, bye. They're like, what the fuck? No. Why didn't you tell us about Connor? And he's like, yeah, I thought it was safer for you. Like, you know, he wouldn't kill humans. And this is where Fred's like, you really don't care, do you?
And it's like I said, like, Wes didn't tell them because they would have been so against what he did to find Angel. They would have, they were looking for Justine, but, like, what would they have done to actually have gotten her to, like, fess up?
Yeah. Asked nicely.
Yeah.
Given her a bologna sandwich.
And milk.
Plus, I kind of believe the reason. I mean, I feel like it makes sense to also wonder if they knew that Connor had done this, how the fuck would they have dealt with Connor? Like, it was a good cover to have them, as long as they weren't in actual danger, just believe that this kid was at least moderately innocent. Because if they knew what he did, then what?
Because unlike in Legacies, the Hyperion doesn't have, like, a personal jail to put this kid in. Oh, yes, in the show Legacies, the Vampire Diaries, an original spinoff, they have a personal jail at the school.
A school for the kids. Jail.
Oh, great. Great. Love a
where
school.
Where the kids act up, personal school jail.
Technically, it is a bunker for the werewolves to transform in, but it is more frequently used as the school jail.
Cool.
But I will say, the scene is where Fandom Wiki proves it doesn't understand nuanced storytelling. Because they put something, this is like, in the goofs and bloopers and like continuity issues where it's like, early in the episode, Fred suggests asking Wesley for help. And when Gunn shoots that down, saying Wesley doesn't care about them anymore, Fred asks if they'd given him any reason to. Later, when Wesley explains the reason he didn't tell them about Connor, was that they didn't need to know, Fred seems genuinely surprised and bothered that he doesn't care about them anymore. It's like, she clearly still had faith in him until, like, he showed up.
What you see there is a realization.
No, this is a continuity issue.
Plot hole. Ding. Cinema sin. Someone's opinion changed.
That never happens.
There was character development, and that's actually, that's wrong. That's a goof. I can't believe they missed this in, like, the script.
Goofs and flubs.
But also, yes. Yeah, so in the scene, Fred says that it's a pothole for some reason. Then Wes is leaving and he's like, Angel, need more blood. I'm fresh out. Which is actually how she has the realization he does care, because he literally gave his blood. He could have died to Angel to save him. And yeah. She feels bad about that, but that's a plot hole also.
Yeah, it's I appreciate this little dig from him, which is like petty, but also like, I don't know, they have a complicated friggin' relationship. So in the office, Connor like beats the shit out of Gunn and then tases Fred.
In the neck.
Didn't care for that one fucking bit. And then he tries to leave out the door, but who's there?
Daddy.
One Angel the Vampire.
Daddy's home.
And he's like, sit down. And I was like, okay.
And Connor's like, you're too weak to take me. You really think that? And then he sits his bitch ass down.
Yeah. Little bitch. So Angel's like, so how was your summer? Mine was weird. Classic. Angel tells Connor, like, he's like, by the way, you should probably know that Justine killed Holtz to make you hate me.
And Connor's like, who?
Yeah, who? I can't, yeah, who? I have no idea who that is. And Connor's like, cool, even if that's true, you still deserved it. Yikes. I so appreciate classic Angel, that his response to that is, what I deserve is open to debate. Like, he's still like, obviously I deserve to die. I'm me. But like, honey.
That's not up to you.
But you don't get to do it.
It's the core of my whole character.
Is that I don't agree that I should be around either. Have you met me? He's back. And he says, but the point of this is, what do you deserve? Yikes. Connor tries to, like, go for it. And Angel shoves the fuck out of him into a wall and says, Daddy's not finished talking.
Woo!
Woo! Referring to oneself as Daddy. A powerful move.
Although it is offensive, he called himself Daddy and Cordy was not around to react.
Hi.
Because...
rude. A long way from, hey, I'm Mr. Dad. And Angel's like, here's what actually fucking matters. And like, the all of it rests on the following. Did you do something to Cordelia? Connor says he didn't. Gunn and Fred, unsurprisingly, do not believe him. Because they're like, he's a lion-ass bitch. But Angel does. Says
Angel can tell his voice. There's a nasal thing with his voice, and we're like, ah, he's a little emo bitch.
Fucking love it. Same. And Angel's kind of final statement on the thing is,
what you did to me was unbelievable, Connor. Then I got stuck in a hell dimension by my girlfriend one time for 100 years, so a few months under the ocean actually gave me perspective. Kind of a M.C. Escher perspective. But I didn't get time to think. About us. About the world. Nothing in the world is the way it ought to be. It's harsh and cruel. But that's why there's us. Champions. Doesn't matter where we come from. What we've done or suffered. Or even if we make a difference, we live as though the world were as it should be, to show it what it can be.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah, the nothing in the world is the way it ought to be. It's a reiteration of the mission statement. It's the, you know, if nothing we do matters, all that matters is what we do. Mm-hmm. And everything Cutter does is a little bitch move.
Absolutely.
He's not actively helping the world.
He's not
a champion. He's the destroyer.
He's caught up in... like, if you consider the scale of everything that Angel fights for, something very petty and very small and very personal. And Angel does say, he's like, I hope that you can be a part of that someday, but you're not right now. And that's true. And he says, so I love you, son. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it's like a yay, but also, God.
It's very, yeah, ooh, it's very sad. But, yeah. Like, there's so, at this juncture, there is no other thing. Like, what can you do with this kid?
No, that's what has to be done, right?
You can lock him up. Like, that's honestly the only thing, their only recourse. And obviously Angel doesn't want to do that. I'm like, you could keep him as like a prisoner and make sure he doesn't hurt anybody and try to like salvage your relationship there. But that would not, that's not a viable option. Connor would never be okay, would never like learn to be okay with this form of captivity and learn to talk to his dad. He just has to go out there in the world and see it as it is and understand where his dad fits into it. Which is not a guarantee that they'll ever have a relationship. Other than that he's in the opening titles.
Do you think that he's been climbing on buses all summer? Like, do you think he just left and climbed on top of another bus? Do you think he just does that all the time?
I think they had to have a talk to him about, like, not climbing on buses.
No more on top of buses. It's like in the Tony Hawk, like, pro skater game where you could, like, grab onto the back of a car and, like, skitch. But this is how Connor does it. No more being on top of buses, buddy. So Connor leaves. And second he does, Angel, like, collapses into a chair. And he says, like, we have to find Cordy.
He needs Cordy. He says, I need Cordy.
We all do.
Right? Well, you know what? I think I know where Cordy is. She's somewhere in the space-time continuum.
She's still bored.
Somewhere prismatic and glittery.
God, I am so bored.
Lisa Frank coloring book. Yeah, so I guess being a higher being is not super interesting.
Damn you, Skip.
Maybe for people who didn't grow up in Sunnydale and then spend their adult years fighting crime, be like, you know what I mean? Maybe, but she's seen
maybe the more boring higher beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs a little more.
Yeah.
Ugh. And that's all right. Okay, fuck watch.
Watch.
Sweaty Lila and West threesome. Yes, I'm doing it again. Yes, I'm blowing it all in the first episode.
Wait, so how does this work? Does it reset?
It resets.
Yes.
Wow. That'd be the top of the season. The power.
Kristen, Saja.
I'm like, wow, it resets perfect. Who are you picking, Morgan?
I thought a lot about this, and obviously there are candidates, but I'm going to play it safe.
Annoying.
I'm going to play it safe as all heck, and I'm going to say Marissa. I would have made a deal with her on that rooftop. I would have gotten my information, and I think we both would have had a nice time.
It took me a second to be like, who the fuck's Marissa?
Yeah, Misha Barton from the OC is what I'm talking about.
Oh, good choice.
Cooper Scooper?
Cooper Scooper.
I'm gonna go Lila. I don't have to save my picks, and since I mean I'm not gonna interfere on LaToya's threesome, so I'll just take Lila. I'll take Lila right after she leaves the boardroom and has decapitated Linwood. That's when I would like to have sex with Lila.
That's a great choice.
Thank you so much.
Fuck watch.
Now that we have, now that we've done our fuck watch, I was wondering if we might, you know, see one Angel the Vampire who's kind of seems like he's having a bit of a sick day, lounging around, you know, drinking warm blood and like being wrapped up in a blanket. Would he maybe like watch something while he recovered?
Possibly.
Should a certain bitch hit it?
I would love it if the bitch hit it.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They
another season.
Mm-hmm.
Another round of television shows from the WB that one Mr. Angel should be watching. And, you know, I was thinking, I was racking my brain, obviously, as I do. And I'm just like, I guess I have to apologize. This is the one time I will do this, I'm going to promise for now. And I'm just going to say, season 5, episode 1 of The Vampire Diaries, I Know What You Did Last Summer, as the Stefan plot is exactly the Angel plot in this episode. Only he, like, drowns and dies a bunch of times during his hallucinations. Yes, it's the CW, so I'm cheating, but, like, it had to be done. Like, it's the same plot.
Be done. Yes. Yes. And as I can tell you, having recently watched it and listened to a podcast about it, that episode's a banger. He's going to have a great time.
He's going to love it. He's going to feel so bad for Bonnie.
Oh, he's going to cry. He's going to cry by himself watching the Bonnie scenes.
Kristen, you got to watch more Vampire Diaries.
I'm going to snuggle up next to Angel while he watches it.
I mean, Kristen, you'll meet a little character named Silas.
Oh.
Don't look him up. Just know.
A character.
He's very hot.
Okay. All right.
He is very hot.
Okay. I'm ready.
Well, I guess that's us. That's WB. That's Fuckwash. That's the app. Should we move on to plug and stuff?
Wait, can I ask you how you're both feeling at the start of this season? Because I know, LaToya, you know everything that happens, but Morgan, I think you're like me, having no idea that Justine is in the closet until we scream, right? Like, you just...
Yeah, I remember a few broad strokes from this season, and obviously I know there's some things to come, some positive, some not. But I would say I still really, I know about as much about the shape of this dang thing as I did of 3, which, as you heard, dear listeners, was not very much. So I'm really excited. I don't know, like, LaToya says the season bangs, so I believe the season bangs, and I'm really excited. What about you guys?
I mean, honestly, I just, like, double checked to see what the episode 2 is, and I'm also, like, very excited for that too. So...
Hell yeah.
LaToya, is your what's your Angel? I mean, not that you have to give me the whole ranking, but is season 4 above season 3 in your watch? Or do
no,
you
I don't know if I would say that. I usually kind of because maybe tie 3 and 2, but 3 probably is a little higher than it goes 4. Yeah,
gotcha.
And then it depends on how I'm feeling with 1 and 5, honestly. And again, I don't trust anyone who says season 5 is the best season of the show. I'm not saying it's a bad season, but it just means that. I have some questions about how you see the show, Angel.
Well, thanks for letting me have all 4 corners. I promise I will only be taking 1 moving forward. But it's been lovely to chat with you both.
It was so nice to have
you. Welcome to season 4, baby!
When will Jenny have a jar that consumes the whole episode? That's the thing we have to find out. As she asked to be on the show, I'm like, yeah, you could just like, come on, in the middle of a Zoom, it would have been fine.
Are there any, if any of the listeners have particular things they'd like to hear Jenny speak on, you should let Morgan and LaToya know so that they can force Jenny into her jar, get her to talk a little bit in this space.
Absolutely. Or is she too scared because of our feud? Our very real, very intense.
Are you about to behead
feud.
Jenny with your Palm Pilot?
Who knows? If you see me flip open my Palm Pilot, maybe get worried and take out my little stylus so that I can tap, tap, tap away on it.
So that's going to happen whenever Jenny shows up.
Great.
But in the meantime, you can follow this show at Angel on Top Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can send us a little email at angelontoppodcast@gmail.com. And you can go to angelontop.com to find our Patreon where you can support us. We have a lot of fun stuff on there, including a brand spanking new Discord, which I'm going to be obnoxious in. So
yes, she is.
Stay tuned for that.
I do have one final question, actually, for
Please.
Kristen. So, Buffy season 7 premiere, or Angel season 4 premiere?
Ooh, I have to go Buffy season 7 premiere over Angel season 4. The nostalgia is just too much for me to not give it to Buffy, because we're back at
And also after
Sunny
we tricked
Dale.
You at the end of season 3.
Yeah, I can't keep siding with Angel. But both very good premieres. I also just want to let everyone know who's excited about the Discord that my plan, because normally I just kind of fuck around over here. I'm not on screen or on camera for most of the episodes. So I think that when LaToya and Morgan are taping their episodes, I'm going to pop into the Discord and tell you what they're talking about. Tell you all the stupid things they're saying. Ask if you have any input. So that's fun. So you should come and join to hang out with me.
You do want access to that, I can guarantee you.
I'll make you the make tea. The suddenly seeking Sajan.
Memes. It'll be perfect. Should you want to, you can find me on social media at Lorgan Mudich. You can find LaToya and I talking about a different set of vampires over on the Vampire Diaries. LaToya, where can the people find you? And more importantly, should they?
No.
Wonderful. Kristen, anything you want to plug over here in this space now that we're in our brand new feed?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good thing that I can talk about. This episode you're hearing in the buffering feed and in the brand spanking new Angel on Top feed. So I'm just going to plug Angel on Top. keep listening to Morgan and LaToya. Get out of here. If you're in the buffering feed, I don't know what you're doing. Get out of here. Go to the Angel on Top
Go on,
feed.
Get.
You heard her yourself. I don't know. I guess that does it for us here at Angel on Top.
Didn't you have I feel like the end of last season you like had
Did
a tagline.
Yeah, and I forget what it was. And you're now checking out of the Hyperion. And in to your normal life.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.